You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is 11 minutes after the hour, 5 o'clock, and of course, we are hoping to, have a conversation with Dr. Beverly Buckley Velemse, who should be talking to us in a short bit, talking to us about, the use of a home language for instruction, quite interesting, and I'm looking forward to actually talking about that because, unlike yesteryear, where only a certain or some languages were used for instruction, but these days it looks like the could be a choice and perhaps a benefit to it. We are going to be speaking to her and find out exactly, what that entails and what actually that is all about. Dr. Velemse, we are just trying to, she's probably on holiday. I hope she will be able to come on the phone and speak to us. Dr. Velemse, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Sorry about that. I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, Dr. Velemse, can you hear me? I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Yes, I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Are you well?
I'm well, thank you. And how are you?
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Adventist World Radio. Now, where we're talking about using home language for instruction, and we do know that our continent, Africa, has a rich blend of cultures, traditions, and languages. And many learners have had to adopt English as their first language because it's the primary language used in our schools and universities. According to some reports, an estimated 40% of the children are not accessing education in their mother tongue. In this conversation, we want to explore the implications of using a learner's home language for instruction at school. So, Doc, for many people, this may sound idyllic. Learning in my own language? Is it practical, though?
I'd like to share just a little bit of background, if I may, about mother tongue education throughout the world.
Okay, lovely.
And that this is not a uniquely African problem, if I can put it in inverted commas, but it is a huge challenge. So, throughout the world, mm-hmm. English is the academic language. Mm. And we are all working towards tertiary, aren't we? So if tertiary is the end result, primary, secondary needs to lead to that. And whether we are in Asia or in South America or in Africa, wherever we are, where English is not lingua franca, as they speak about, where English is the second language and most people can speak it. Mm-hmm. So it is not unique to Africa, but when we look at South Africa, that I would like to just zoom in on the uniquely South African context, where we have so many official languages that gives us the impression that every language should be equally treated because they're all official. Mm-hmm. However, there's also, even in that, there are multi-layers of issues. If I look at the majority of our children who go to school, In South Africa, you have the majority of our little learners that go to grade one come from a rural background where grandma and grandpa that are looking after them have no knowledge of English. Mm. So they go to school basically not understanding what teacher's saying if the teacher's going to be speaking in English. Mm-hmm. Whereas you have in the cities and in the rural urban areas, you have parents who use English as lingua franca. There's sort of a mix. So that the children don't go to school with a clean slate of English and they get to school and they already understand how to speak it, at least they know the basics, So you have this very distinguished difference, whereas children that go to school with a completely new language when they get to grade one, first day of school, people are speaking foreign. Mm. And they do not understand anything. You have children who have heard it before, it's not their mother tongue, but it's not a foreign concept to them. They understand it. And, just to mention, just to think about numeracy, when you think of the symbol four, just picture it, you know, the four.
Yeah,
you see a number, you see the number four.
Mm-hmm.
Where as a child that starts with school, the word four is a concept. 1, 2, 3, 4 apples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now you get to school and the teacher's saying, okay, four, I want you to count to four. And they don't even have a clue what four means.
Mm.
Never mind, because they haven't yet learned the symbol.
Yeah, yeah.
The number four. And those are so, so abstract. And language is learned, you know, if you go and look at Piaget's educational theories of concrete and abstract,
mm-hmm.
you know, math is a totally abstract concept. Now you say 4 minus 2, they do not understand 4, they do not understand minus, and they do not understand 2.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, you think, okay, guys, 4 minus 2 is not difficult.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
if you don't understand the language, it's mm-hmm. foreign. You could be saying anything.
Yeah, true. True. Now,
So is it idyllic? Yes, it is. It is idyllic.
And practical?
No, not practical. If you look at the end result, you know, because now when is the ideal children age for a child to learn a new language? You know, up to the age of 8.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this is a very interesting concept as well, is mm-hmm. that the speech organs, the human speech organs develop around the mother tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the understanding of Xhosa, now excuse my click, I'm not sure if I got that right,
mm-hmm.
but there are 13 different clicks in Xhosa,
mm-hmm.
and they have different spaces in the mouth. So if your language is Xhosa as a child,
mm-hmm.
your speech organs developed around those sounds.
Ah, okay.
So the older you are and you learn a new language, the less chance you have of the more chance that you'll have an accent.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to learn Xhosa now, I would struggle and I'd never sound Xhosa because my tongue has never learned those clicks as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the older a child is, language acquisition is best, the younger they are, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So a parent who has insight of, I'm sending my child to an English school because high school is English, tertiary is English, they start at baby level.
Mm.
Exposing them to both languages. A child can learn up to 4 languages at once from birth.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be consistent, and it has to be of the level needs to be good. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
you're not just teaching the children superficially all the time. You know, you're going to put in the effort because you understand the end result is tertiary needs to be English, but the heart and the home is still another language.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. It's perfect. But idyllic for school, not practical for school, if you're not teaching them that English is going to be the end result at the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's the reality, whether you're living in China, whether you're living in Russia, whether you're living in Asia, anywhere in Asia, in South America, tertiary, you end up being English.
Mm. Yeah. What would the benefits be then of receiving instruction in one's own home language?
First of all, cognitive development is definitely advanced.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand abstraction better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As I was explaining just now about the number four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you are little and your mom says there's 4 things that I want you to bring. 4 things. You'll bring 4 things because you understand the concept of 4.
Mm.
But if you don't know the word, you know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So number one, it's the cognitive development, and secondly, a social integration. You know, if you're living in an area, a rural area, there's usually one specific language that's dominant at home, and then the school language becomes English. And the younger they are when they're exposed to that, the more socially integrated they would be and learn this new language together. But you know, you know children aren't on static, so they might move now to the city with mom and dad after they've been with grandma for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of now they must find a school for their child.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put them in. Now this child is socially not integrated because he or she has not understood everything in the lingua franca, being English usually.
Mm.
And the other thing also is the limited vocabulary that a child would have in this new language. they have a good vocabulary, but they don't in their home language where they were taught a mother tongue, but they can't necessarily speak it or read it because they weren't taught that, they were too young. So when you start learning to speak, read and write, you're already in school. So you're learning to read and write English. You never learn to read and write your mother tongue. And so many of the students I teach senior high school, which is, you know, the grade 11, 12, A level up to that stage. Mm-hmm. They are Xhosa at home, Zulu at home, Sepedi or whatever the languages they've been learning from. They can speak it only and they can hear it, but they cannot read it and they cannot write it, because that's when the learning process started, they were put into a school where English was learned to read and write. So there's a lot lost in both.
And so those are some of the positive and negative consequences of, you know, not learning in home language at first. But also it would be a problem if one then has to receive instruction in home language, because the reading and writing would generally be a problem.
Yes, yes. And the thing is also because it's not sustained at home many times.
Yeah.
You know, many, we have to consider our rural context in South Africa, and many of the grandparents looking after these children, making sure that they're taken care of in primary school, cannot read and write. So they cannot teach them to read and write in their own language or help them with English.
It does look like in other areas, you know, while they have to learn English, for instance, as a language to do business, etc. But they are also strong in home language learning, you know, for them to be able to communicate and do business with each other in home languages. Do we have areas where this has been successful in our area?
I do think so, but it would be more in our urban areas where parents are aware of the value. The value of multilingualism, but it's a difficult concept. But the difficulty lies only when they're learning the abstract and the concrete principles, specifically mathematics, science, and the sciences, where things are all abstract. But when it comes, you know, the more success we achieve is the more determined and the more planned. The parents were, the more they planned it with success in mind. Otherwise, if it's just incidental, it is often where the problem lies. A child is incredibly intelligent, and they absorb what they're given, and they can learn. Multilingualism is definitely something a child can master better than any adult can. They have better cognitive abilities than adults do at that stage of acquiring language. And you can teach it, you know, children that know many languages, they're cognitively far ahead of others. They're better with multitasking. They're better with problem solving, all of that. But it has to be intentional.
Yeah. I do notice, though, that one of the languages that I think there has been intention and therefore successfully, you know, created an ability to learn is Afrikaans. You know, you see that, in fact, up to university, the medium of instruction primarily in Afrikaans is possible, because that has actually been developed for many years. Is that the case? Do you share that view?
I do think it has historical advantages, which are not necessarily fair at this point. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you go and have a look at, you know, at the lingua franca in South Africa, used to be Afrikaans before, you know, and so many of the institutions have deeply ingrained Afrikaans roots and all of that, which we you know, come from an era that's not necessarily treat everybody fairly. So we have to acknowledge that, but it's also disappearing because those students that are now coming from Afrikaans homes are also being exposed to exclusively English tertiary education. So the end point remains the same. You know what I'm, and so at the end, you know, bottom line is home language education in primary school is idyllic and not practical if you want to go to an English tertiary system. And if we want to publish, if we want to do our research and publish when we're older, we need English. And so we don't want to disadvantage our children going forward so that they can be successful academically and in business, etc. So we want them to have the English advantage. And this is a global problem we have to understand and accept, that as parents, we need to prepare them, but in the process, we can still maintain our home language, but it's intentional. It's going to have to be an intentional home process where you're teaching your children equally on both levels. And I think in the past, you know, education was very much left to the school. And what we're seeing now is that the most successful children are those who have a very strong background at home, where mothers and fathers are intentionally teaching multilingualism to the children, because sometimes moms and dads don't even have the same language.
Many a times, actually.
Yes, so that is quite unique in to the South African or African context, is that parents are not necessarily having the same language. So children can absorb, they can acquire multilingual, they can do that, but it needs to be on an intentional level. You know, many people say children should be exposed to one language at a time. That's not true. Because even though mom is speaking a language, dad another, and child's learning English, those three, you can learn them all together. And it's amazing how the vocabulary and syntactical structures, lexical choices, and all those, they fall into place the moment the child reaches a specific age. They compartmentalize the languages. And they can speak them all without an accent because they've learned them at the right stage. But as you can hear in that, there needs to be a huge effort from parents' side for that to happen.
Beautiful. I noticed, though, that in other countries, I mentioned earlier, for instance, China, where they would be able to speak their Mandarin quite fluently, and there are other languages better than the English language. It does mean that perhaps they start much early in life and start them, because when you hear them, Russians as well, speaking their languages and also speaking English, you then discover that they are much more proficient in their country's languages than they would be in English.
That is true. And we also have to acknowledge that their school, they're enrolling children at the age of three. At the age of three, they're enrolling children in school. And I mean, we have, if we take Ellen G. White's book of education, you know, she's very, very pertinent about children need to be running around, enjoying physical education, being in nature, being with their parents, learning about nature. But now the whole system is saying, okay, the earlier a child gets into a school system, the better, because they can learn the languages that are necessary, the ideologies, etc., which is not necessarily the best thing for the child. But in the long run, it's going to give them great multilingualism, but are they going to be healthy? Are they going to be able to have the basis of the spiritual basis that they need when they're growing up? Because, you know, spiritual, physical, all of this goes together. And put a child in school when he's three years old, is that natural? Is that the way we were designed? That leaves a question as well. That's maybe another discussion.
Yeah, that's another discussion altogether. Well, Dr. Bev, I must thank you so much for coming through and for your time. Absolutely, absolutely important discussion, especially those who are having children in the education system, and for the children as well. I mean, I think these help, especially multilingualism seems to be much better. Before I let you go, but just for a minute or so, I did hear that the level of intelligence between a person who can speak multiple languages and those that only speak a singular language is also different.
Absolutely. As the research has shown, you know, a child that's multilingual has better cognitive abilities, better problem-solving skills, better insight into relationships, even between different cultural things. they have an understanding, a deeper understanding of humanness.
Mm-hmm.
Because together with a language comes a whole set of human, I don't know what to use other than humanness. You know, we all have different things that make us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment you understand a whole language, it's a set of thoughts and beliefs that goes with the people who speak it. You know, so it's not a language. Is not it's a very what is the word that I'm looking for? There's a word that's not on my tongue at the moment.
Mm.
Not my, and it is my mother tongue, so I'm not sure why. but you know what I'm saying is that there's a whole lot that goes into language. It's not just words. It's understanding. It's people. It's traditions. It's everything that goes into a language makes it what it's the realness of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when a child has been exposed to a language, they are not neutrally exposed. They're exposed to a language in a context.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So once you've exposed that and you've learned the language in that given context, you will then also understand the people in that context.
True.
Mm. So it makes you a much more rounded, an integrated person, because you don't learn a language independently from context.
Very true. Wow. Well, Dr. Bev, I must thank you so much for your time and coming through. Very much a pleasure to speak to you this afternoon. Blessings, and thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.